If we are going to talk about our DNA, in other words, about us, being us, there's one thing that we have to remember. We have to go back to the Scriptures, particularly to the book of Acts. Because before the day of Pentecost, after Jesus had ascended and gone back to heaven, there was no church. There was no body of Jesus Christ. We sit here in this room today because of Pentecost, because of what God did on that day to start or begin the church. And so our DNA goes back to the first century. And our vision should be the vision of those first century Christians, because it was a powerful time on the face of this earth. When you go back to Acts, you find the Christian church. And I would encourage you that if you really want to know about the body of Jesus and how it got started and the genesis of what was in God's mind through Jesus Christ and through those apostles, read the book of Acts this week. Just start chapter 1 and read the book of Acts. You will begin to develop an understanding of the DNA of the church. And it's very vital to who you are as a Christian. If you do a genealogy to find out about your past and who you're connected to, there's a commercial on right now where a lady is talking about her genealogy, and she holds this picture of George Washington. She said, "I found out that I am a descendant of George Washington." When it comes to the church, we need to understand that our roots go all the way back to that early church. And when we look at the Christian church, it was growing like crazy. When you read Acts, you're going to this book is going to be like, it's just moving through history because of what the Christians were experiencing. Person to person, the message was love and acceptance. Today, we're going to talk about support. Now, our vision statement for this church, of course, is, give me that first slide up there, Bob, with the mission statement on it. Our passion, remember, is to pursue the unchurched. Now, how do we do that? We do that by living like Jesus. And then what is our responsibility once we are living like Jesus and striving to be more like Him? Then we are leading others to do the same. In other words, we don't just come in here, and that's part of what we've been talking about. We can't just walk in and worship and walk out next Sunday, come in, walk in, sit down, worship, and walk out. There is more to being a Christian than coming to worship. It is about our lives every day. And when you look at the early church in the book of Acts, you're going to find an everyday group of people. Now, our five core values that we're preaching through right now, we are to seek Jesus, we are to study His Word, we are to absolutely serve, which we talked about last week, and I want to thank you guys. Y'all, we just about were 100% last week with people signing up to help, to serve in the kingdom. What an awesome Monday morning staff meeting was, a joyous occasion. We started dealing out all of the things that you said you were interested in doing around here. And each of us took names and people. Some of you have gotten emails from me. Some of you have gotten them from Jolinda and Frank and Alex. But we want you to understand that serving is so vital to the kingdom work. So we come to this thing about support today. And support is also vital. Now, as soon as I say support, I know you're probably thinking about your wallet or your pocketbook or your bank account. Y'all, that is just one little part. And I will mention that a little further in this brief message. But this message of love in the early church was unbelievable. There was personal support, and it was absolutely out of this world. This was a brand new day for the Jewish people. They had never seen anything or experienced anything like this, even in the Jewish system of religion that God had given them. It was all about keeping rules and laws. And when Jesus came, He said, no, you've got to live it from the inside out. And when you live it from the inside out, you will understand God's love greater than you ever have. So these early Christians were on fire for the Lord. It was absolutely phenomenal. I've heard people tell me, you know, I just don't like a big church. I don't like, you know what? The first church in downtown Jerusalem, the first Christian church, was 3,000 strong. Without a building, without a Bible, without any kind of small groups, except we're going to see what they were doing, without any kind of infrastructure. 3,000 people responded to Peter's message on the day of Pentecost. Read about it in Acts 1 and 2. And they were fired up to share a new life with everybody around them. The Jews knew nothing of the love of God. They had not experienced that. And that's what Jesus kept saying to the religious leaders, to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law. To the priest, He kept saying to them, you are not loving the people. And so they were experiencing support. If you have your Bibles, and I have a couple of scriptures on the screen right now that we're going to look at. In Acts, the second chapter, after there were 3,000 people baptized into Christ, you come to this verse 44. Now, 42 is a powerful section all the way through there. But if you look at 43, it says, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Now, listen to 44 and following. All the believers, these were these new Christians. All of these believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And look what was happening. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. These were fired up people. They were understanding the love of God for the first time, and they were supporting each other. They were selling land. They were selling their possessions. It says they had everything in common. They had a common unity about them. Why should we look at our DNA? It's because when you walk out of here and you're talking with your friends or a stranger, you know what God is asking of you. You know the DNA of the place where you worship. You understand everything about where we are and where we're going and what's going on around here. If you understand the DNA. These early Christians, I mean, when you read these words, it's awesome, folks. Every day they continue to meet together. They were gathering in homes and eating together and taking the Lord's Supper. It's believed that those early Christians, every time they came together, wherever it was, they had the Lord's Supper. Why? Jesus said, as often as you meet together, remember me with this meal. It was not just relegated to Sunday morning. Now, we know later we have scriptures that tell us that's what they did in worship. When they came together, they broke bread. When you look at the original Greek, it was the Lord's Supper. But the whole idea is that these people were supporting each other. Did you read it in there or hear it? It said, no one had a need. I don't know of another church that meets needs any better than this church. Don't get me wrong. You are doing these things. You are sharing your possessions. The support that we have experienced in this church in the last months is phenomenal. Parish Dooza right here that you hear sing every week just about, she is our financial secretary, and she can tell you all of the things that we do to help people because of your support. If you were not supporting this ministry, when somebody from this congregation, in fact, needs rent paid because they're in hard times, we couldn't do it. We couldn't give anybody some gas in their car to get to a doctor's appointment. Those things go on almost on a daily basis here. Every day, somebody is being helped and supported because of this ministry. It says they broke bread together in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And you know why? They were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. When we make an impact in this community, you know when it is? It is when somebody knows that we have done something in the name of God to love somebody that needs loving. That's when they know we belong to Jesus. They may ride by and see our cars and trucks and motorcycles out in the parking lot. All that tells them is, oh, there's a church and there's people in there singing songs and listening to some preacher flap his jaws. Okay? But they don't understand the love of Jesus until we touch them. And if we're going to pursue the unchurched, we've got to touch folks, all kinds of folks. No matter who they are, if they're without Jesus and they do not have a church family, we should be pursuing them. That's what this is about. If we understand the gospel of Jesus to be a gospel that reaches out to people who are lost, that's what it's all about. Two words I want to plant in your brain: attitude and action. You can love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, keep Him to yourself, and nothing's going to happen in anybody else's life. In fact, I would challenge you that if you keep it to yourself, nothing's going to happen in your life. Some of my greatest blessings are when I help other people. It's not all about me and my relationship. And that's what was happening. You see, if attitude is proper, in other words, anybody that walks through the doors, I am willing and ready to support them with the love of Jesus. But if my attitude is, look at them. Look how they're dressed. I know them in the community. Wow, what are they doing here? Folks, that won't get it. The early church, when you look back in the book of Acts, they were loving folks. They were supporting folks. Everybody had the same thing in common, and no one had a need because the church was active and working. You see, attitude and action are two great principles to build a church upon. Bless people. That's what you see in the book of Acts. Bless people. They were so blessed because their lives had changed. They didn't look at people through the worldly eyes. They looked at people through the eyes of Jesus. And that is so vital when we talk about being Christians. Generosity, of course. Thanksgiving, of course. You see, the difference is, I think, in the first century, there was a lot of generosity and thanksgiving going on. If you compare that with the 21st century, just add a few centuries to it, I wonder what the mantra is. I wrote down something. I believe the mantra of our day and our culture is, I care about me. I can't help anybody. I can't support anybody for looking at myself, for thinking about myself. And if we would think about that this week and put that in our minds and our hearts to really contemplate it, I think it might change our attitude. And if our attitude gets changed, our action is going to get changed. See, if you turn over, this didn't just stop. In Acts 4:32, all the believers were one in heart and mind. We don't know exactly how much time has lapsed between chapter 2 and 4. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Here's a man that sold a piece of property, and he brought all of the money he got, and he put it at the apostles' feet for the work of the kingdom. These people were sold out to supporting not only Jesus, but what Jesus was all about. And I want to tell you something. I just said it. I'm going to say it again. For several months, it's been happening here, and what a joy it is. Your giving is phenomenal. If you look at the stats every week, it's phenomenal what you have been doing for the Lord by your giving. And you ought to be applauded for that. And you see, I believe the more we give, the more we can continue to give. Because God promises us if we will give in His name, He will bless us. And that doesn't mean you're going to get a check in the mail, by the way. So don't call me up this week and say, "Hey, I gave a good check and I was looking for something in the mailboxes." Don't take that wrong. What I'm saying is, bless people, bless people. Blessed people bless people. There's no doubt about it. You are supporting. You are seeking and studying and serving. And we want to encourage you to continue to support. Because blessed people bless people. I want to give you an acrostic that you can take home with you. If you've got a piece of paper, got the bulletin, you have a pen in your hand, I would encourage you guys to bring a pen and a pad or write in the notes section of the bulletin every week, because there's going to always be one tidbit that you need. God uses the preacher as a conduit to bring that one thing that you need to think about. And if you don't write it down, you might be like me and forget it. Okay? Maybe you're not, but I'm just saying. I want you to think about the word pray. I've got it just down like that for you. When you think about praying this week, every time you think about praying, number one, you think to pray. P stands for prayer. Just pray. Pray about your life, but pray for somebody else. Find something to support through prayer. Find someone to support through prayer. Make it personal. R stands for resources. We all have resources. Frank had a good meditation about giving this morning. How much of what we have do we really honor God with? And we know what the Lord says about our giving. We should give cheerfully and freely, and if we can't do that, we probably should probably just keep it. Because our attitude's not right. See, our action follows our attitude. And by the way, A in prayer is attitude. Check your attitude. This week, check your attitude. Every time you pray, you think about supporting somebody, someone who has a need, and you think about your attitude toward helping others. It really matters when you give it thought. And then the Y stands for you. Now, you is this. It's a personal decision. And here's what I've already said, and I will reiterate it. supporting somebody, praying for somebody, being there and giving time to somebody is all about you making decisions to do that. You. I can't make that decision for you personally. But I would guarantee you every one of us knows someone who has a need, and we understand and know that God will fill that need in their life. If they need something physical right now, we know we can generate that somehow. We serve a God of the impossible, and He does impossible things. It is personal responsibility for sharing our lives with people. Pray. That's all I'm asking. There's two other scriptures as I close this out that I want to talk to you about. One of them is in Hebrews, and it's the 10th chapter of Hebrews, and a very simple message from the Word. You know, if you ever want to check your DNA, just read God's Word. It's all in there. In verse 24 of chapter 10, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward what? Love and good deeds. I don't know about you, but I think about spurring. I think about cowboys with their spurs on, and they hit that horse to make that horse run faster or do what they want to. Spur, encourage somebody, spur them on. Now, don't go out and buy a cattle prod and hit somebody with it, because it'll probably hurt them. But spur one another on. Why? Because we love each other. And look what he says behind that, verse 25. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Did you notice? When you look at this, you're going to see day is capitalized. What day is the writer talking about? It's the day that Jesus comes back. So what are we to do? We're to love each other and encourage one another, spur each other on to love and good deeds, leading others to do the same, living like Jesus to pursue the unchurched, and leading others to do what we're willing to do. Look what it says. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Because the day is approaching, folks. We don't know when it is, do we? Jesus doesn't know when it is. If he did, it would already have happened. When God gives Gabriel the scroll and says, give this to Jesus for me, please, that's when he's coming back. In John chapter 13, here's what Jesus encourages us to do. Chapter 13, beginning with like verse 34 and 35. A new command I give you, Jesus says. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you love one another. It's powerful, folks, for us to think that we have the responsibility to support our brothers and sisters in Christ, yes, in this church family, but all people, because Jesus has called us to love.